And the handoff.
All right. Hello, everybody. Will you hand me my Bible? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, boy. We got quite the crew here today. Full house, that's for sure. And that's a praise the Lord. That is a praise the Lord. You know, our God is definitely an awesome God.
Amen.
You know, there's another song that I like, and it's Amazing Love, where he says, how could it be that he came down and died for me?
Amen.
Our God in heaven came down and paid the price for every single one of you guys in here, for us. And that's an awesome thing. And I was looking at many scriptures this morning, and I'm thinking to myself, I really like the extension on that. But I was really thinking to myself, you know, I'm like going, oh boy, I have no idea where I'll be going. But praise the Lord, the Lord does. And there's a few things that have been hitting me lately, you know, and that's been getting in the way of the Lord. Jesus is the way. And His way is the only way.
That's right.
And it's all throughout scriptures. There's plenty of scripture that talks about that. Just read it for yourselves. And you'll find it. And one of the big is show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. And He will. It's right there in front of you if you want to know it. And the gospel is very, very simple. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save our sorry hides. And that's just it. We can never repay that. It's a gift. And it's right there for us to receive if we want it. You know, and he has one thing for us, and that's to just keep His commandments. And it's based down to two simple things. Love God, love one another. And then we can go through the epistles, and it shows us how to do that in many different instances and situations. But really, it's up to us whether a man wants to do what a man wants to do. If you love God, you'll keep His commandments. We can say we love God till we're blue in the face, or that we might be saved and all these things till we're blue in the face, but look, the proof's in the pudding. Love God, love one another. If you love Him and you receive that, you're going to be doing that. And I want to take it to John 15 this morning. If I can find it. No dead air. Just don't sing. I probably should have got some water before I came up here. Huh? I hear you. If I was bright, I would have brought some. But you know, praise the Lord. We know we're not that. That's not me at all. And I know we've talked about this before. And you know, in the meeting last night, we talked about loving God, loving one another, and being a part of His body. And also on Thursday night, we talked about in Colossians, if you be dead in Christ, you know, seek those things which are above. You know, set your affections on things that are above. Yeah, one up in Colossians. But, you know, if we recognize, one of the things is, if we recognize our own sin, if we recognize how short we fall, if we're honest with the Lord, if we're honest with Him, then He's faithful and just to forgive us.
Amen.
And that we are dead. We don't have to listen to this flesh, because we also talked about in Romans how that a law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. We're born in this sinful nature. We're born into it by nature. But when we accept Jesus, we're reconnected with that spirit, and we don't have to listen to this thing anymore. It has no more dominion over you. So you have that choice. But it's a choice that you make. You know, it talks about in Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's something that you do. even to the letter. And I think I was going to John, but I think I want to go to Philippians actually now. Oh, let's see here. If I can find it. No dead air, no dead air. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Okay. Where is that in Philippians? Hope, will you look that up for me? Where is that in Philippians? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Is it 2:14?
No, 2:13.
2:13.
It's in there somewhere. 2:12.
It is 2:12.
Yeah. It starts with wherefore.
12. Okay, wherefore. All right. You know, I'm going to start at the beginning of this. And I really didn't think I was going here, but praise the Lord. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now first, to have that like-mindedness, to be of one mind, one accord, what do we have to have then? The mind of Christ. With the fellowship of the Spirit. You're going to throw me off. But to have that mind of Christ. And if He came down and died on the cross and took all your sin, and you accept that and receive that, and you're reconnected back with your Spirit, guess what you have? You have access to that mind of Christ. Amen? You have that. And it's a choice that you make. You set your affections on things above. Where are your affections at? You know, I was talking about a man does what a man wants to do. But if your affections aren't on Christ, if your affections isn't to do the will of the Father, then repent, go to the Lord with that. And say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Because I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me. But God can change that. It's your choice. If you really want that and you come to Him and say, Lord, I want this. I don't have it in me. He'll give you that if that's what you really want. And then you're going to start doing, even if you don't feel like it, you're going to do it anyways. You're going to seek His face. You're going to set your affection on things above. That's where your heart is. That's where will you set your affections of, if you want to. Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And that's the mind of Christ. Now, the mind of Christ was what? He came down to do His Father's will. Which was what? The perfect example. It talks about in Hebrews being the perfect example of loving God and loving one another. He laid down His life. And He was at that rock. And let me tell you, He had a hard decision. It was a hard decision. To the point He strived against sin. He sweated blood. Said, Father, if it be that this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but yours, Father. And He prayed this quite a time. And then He went. And let me tell you something. They didn't have power over Him. He laid down His life. They didn't come take it. He laid it down. They said, we seek for Jesus Nazareth. I am He. They asked Him again. And He said, you're not listening? I am Him. And He went to the cross for you and for me. And we ought to have that same love for one another. And we have should ought to have that love to God because we know we can't repay that debt. Don't get it in your mind that somehow you can repay it, because then you're a worker of debt or not of grace. Grace is, thank you, Lord. What would you have me do? I want you to be my Lord and Savior. We like to Savior pardon. Let me tell you. We get that forgiveness, man. He takes all that away from us. Praise you. Thank you. You know that rings true in your heart. You know when you've forgiven. You know when you accepted that. But the Lord part? Philip, I want you to go do this. Man, I don't want to do that. Go hang out with Paul. But I don't want to hang out with Paul. I do, actually. That I do. Go tell this person this. I don't want to go there with them. Go to work. I don't want to go to work. Everybody hates me there. I tell them what to do. Praise God. If I'm in the Spirit, what will it be? A joy. Amen. But that's where you set your affections on things above. You know, I'm in Philippians and I'm talking about Colossians. But that's where you set your affections on things above. And you go do it, and if you love them, you will bear that cross. We all have a cross to bear. And it, you know, it talks about in Scripture, if we suffer in this flesh, we'll be ceased from sin. Look, if we all have that cross, and if we find joy, if Paul and Silas was in the uttermost part of prison, which is where all the crap comes down, and they can rejoice and praise the Lord for being suffered for His name's sake. And if Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for us and for our sin and laid down His life for us, how much more should we ought to do it for one another? They had joy in that. Jesus said He did it for the joy that was set before Him. That's what His focus. As they beat Him, they whipped Him, to the point that He was indescribable. It says in Scripture, He looked like a worm up there on the cross. He was beaten with the flesh torn off His bones for you. While you're at your worst, man. When I was spitting in God's face and telling Him, no, I don't want to do that. Being ungrateful for everything He's done for me. Going off and doing drugs and being rebellious as all get out. Doing what I wanted to do. And then Satan loved it. Because that's what he wanted me to do. He wants me to die and go to hell with him and his angels. But Jesus made a way out. And He loves you. He loved you that much. And if He had joy to do that, He will give you the same mind if you want it. And it's a choice. We get mixed up with the filios love all the time, folks. But it's a love of choice. Love is not a feeling. It's an act of your will. That's what Don Francisco's song said about. And if you're gonna love Him, you're gonna choose to love Him. If you're gonna love one another, you're gonna choose to love one another. It's up to you what you want to do. In many scriptures, it talks about servants obey your masters. For you have one master in heaven. I mean, obey Him. Even not to just the good and gentle. We talked about this, but also to the froward. So what if you suffer when you are buffeted for your own faults, for stuff you do, and you suffer for that, which we don't even take that very well. But if you actually suffer when you're not in the wrong, that is acceptable to Christ, because that's what He did. And we have many examples of people following after that. But the Lord loved you. The Lord loved you enough to hang on that cross when we ought to do the same for one another. And we all have our cross to bear. We all have something. that we're told to do. And it's all in the epistles. Read it. Get to know it yourself. If you have any questions, you got Paul, you got Brad, ask me, you ask some of the elders in the church, whomever. But he's given you everything you need. You got somewhere to go. You have a fellowship around you. And there's no excuse for you not to know God or love Him. There's no excuse. You got everything that you need to grow in Him. But it's really up to us if we want to do it. And if we be honest with ourselves, a lot of times we just don't want to do it. And we make justifications for ourselves. But one day we're going to give ourselves account to the Lord. And that won't suffice. It won't. Well, Lord, I didn't know. No, I'm telling you right now, you have everything that you need to know. And you know, if we're going to come to that day of accountability, then let's start giving ourselves account to the Lord now and being honest with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Our God is an awesome God. He came down off that throne to die for us. Let's do the same for Him and one another. Being that living sacrifice. We have a lot of work to do here as a body. We have a lot of work to do. Let the Lord do that work. And you keep moving forward in Him. Amen. With that, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Boy, it's a full house for sure. Is this thing on? Okay, good. Hey, is this thing on? It's a good thing that I don't freeze up when I see crowds, right? I do work crowds so easily. You know, the neat thing in, and it's good to see a crowd. Let me just say that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The thing that's so neat in Colossians is, you know, you set your affections on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you are dead, and it doesn't say this here, but I'm going to add a little, I'm going to add a couple extra words for clarity. And not that they're divinely inspired or anything, but you're dead, and that which is your life is hid in Christ. And that goes back to, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you be risen with Christ, then you have His life. And that which is your life is hidden with Christ in God. So that gives you access, that sets you free from the bondage of sin. When you were in the bondage of sin, you could not make a choice to choose the Lord, because you were in bondage. You received the Lord, spirits united with the soul again, and you're set free from that bondage to sin. You don't have to do this anymore. Your ability to choose has been restored. But then so is your accountability. Because at that point, everything that you need to be successful in the Lord has been provided. And I wanted to go to Philippians. And we'll start in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech thee, Euodotus, and beseech Syncti, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, this is done simply as a matter of choosing to do it. This is why he can beseech them. He's asking them. He's in fervent desire that they be of the same mind. Speaking the same things. It's Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1. It's the issue with the one of the issues with the Corinthian church. These things are, they're all over Scripture. This stuff's not isolated in Philippians. So you have to conclude that perhaps they were not operating in the same mind. Very few things that he finds to address that are wrong in Philippians, this is one of them. Or maybe he just wants, maybe they just haven't been hitting it like they should have been. I don't know. And three, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also. Yeah, women labored in the gospel. How about that? Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Think that might be important. He said it twice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That's an even temperament. Not given to excesses in anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. You know, now this is a couple of verses that a lot of Christians submit to memory.
That's right.
And they want to claim it. There's a lot that goes along with that. And we're going to talk about that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are divisive, whosoever has evil intent. Wait a minute, that's not in there.
No.
Oh, okay. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, there's plenty when you get rolled out of bed an hour and a half before the alarm goes off and you're not particularly happy about that. You go, praise God. He's going to show me something today and I'm going to be able to speak it. And then he meets you. But you have to adjust your attitude. Your attitude when you roll out of bed, mine isn't. When I roll out of bed an hour and a half before the alarm goes off, I'm not in a particularly good frame of mind, and I have to adjust my attitude. Wake up in the wrong, any side of the bed is the wrong side of the bed when it's an hour and a half before the alarm. I'm just saying. You know, and I will confess that at any given opportunity. But you got to change your mind. If you're given to the work of the Lord, you can't do that. You're His. He purchased you with a price. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. This is the verse that is also committed to memory, but it follows that one. And this is important. To pick this one out of context You need the two before it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What is he strengthening you to do?
To be abound.
Absolutely. To be content where you are. Happy with his provision.
Amen.
You have to agree that his provision for you is good. It's correct. And it's everything you need to do what he wants you to do.
Amen.
All right. Now, this is something we would fancy ourselves agreeing with Paul about, right? I know how to be abound. I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. And to be content where I'm at, with what the Lord has given me where I'm at. How did the children of Israel handle that? No. And we live in an age and a generation where everything presses on us to want the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And the next thing, the next thing, and the next thing, that's covetousness. That's sensual. That's fleshy. And, you know, going back to the truth that is, you know, possibly one of the 5 or 10 standard axioms of Christianity, a man does what a man wants to do. Whether you're content with wherewith what you have is going to show in how you, whether you pursue the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, or whether you're pursuing contentment in what the Lord has for you. You know, the children of Israel, they had the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and the rock that provided the water, and it was all Jesus. Jesus was revealed to them in the desert. They had everything they needed to go into the promised land and take it. And they murmured. Wasn't enough. We want the leeks and onions back in Egypt. Well, you were in slavery and bondage back in Egypt. Well, we like the taste of that better. We're tired of this manna all the time. They had the presence of the Lord in the camp with them for 40 years in the desert, and they refused to move on. They had 3 that could access that presence of God. And only 2 of them got the inheritance. 2 out of them. But would we say there was possibly 3 million that came with them with the mixed multitude out of Egypt? 2 went into the promised land. They were not content with the provision of the Lord. So this is serious stuff. This is an attitude adjustment that we're going to be accountable for, and we have to hold fast the need to be content with wherewith the provision wherewith the Lord has provided all things in Christ who strengthens us. Not all things to do what with as we see fit. The provision is to do that which he has put out there for you to do. Because he created us, Colossians again, he created us for his good pleasure.
Right.
We were created to please him. And then we were recreated so we could, because we didn't do it so well in the first go around. So we needed this spirit joined back with the soul and the blood. The blood did that.
Amen.
So, the tendency we have, we will actually, we sit there and think, I hear it, you know, especially in our gatherings, I hear all kinds of stuff attributed to the devil. The enemy's done this, and the enemy's doing this. And so much of it isn't the enemy. It's this flesh. This flesh is warring against us. It flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. And we were sitting there in Romans 7. This is our battle. Our battle is against this flesh, which Colossians says it's dead. We're to reckon it dead. It's dead. And our that which is our life is in Christ in God. Until we can agree with that, we're not going to have it. We're not going to have any success in apprehending that stuff that God has for us. Because we're about listening to this instead of listening to Him. I'll hear, you know, somebody say, well, you know, I just want the Lord to tell me something. And they've gone and sought counsel from three or four people who've all told them the same thing. You know, giving evidence of the mind having one mind. And it wasn't what they wanted to hear. And then, you know, they've heard from the Lord. And then, you know, they'll wrestle and travail and, you know, maybe they did it, quote, in prayer. Or they did it, you know, they had a restless night or whatever the hell type. I said it. I knew I wasn't going to get through 12 minutes without saying it, but, you know. And it is. It's hell. It is. It is self-deception. You're not hearing from the Lord. You're fighting your own desire. And when you agree with your own desire and then do that which was counter to the counsel, and things are messed up and you go, God, why have you forsaken me? This is miserable here. This wasn't I doing what you wanted me to do. That's the Israelites were rife with that. You brought us out here in the desert to die. We want to go back to Egypt. God has not brought us here to kill us.
Amen.
You, the fundamental... I got to self-edit. Okay, here we go. The fundamental thing you have to agree with. It's a fundamental. It's another one of those truths, those axioms of Christianity. God is not a jerk. God has no evil intent. You have to agree with that. God is an awesome God. You have to agree with that. That has to be a song that flows from your heart and mind and is a truth back to God. Thank you for your provision for me. I have created you and set you here to proclaim the greatness of my love, my mercy, and that I am extending that for you. You can receive that today. Because I love you. That's the gospel. I loved you so much, even while you were yet sinners, that I gave my only son. And he bled on the cross so that blood could reunite your soul and your spirit and you could have life. I sit back and I see myself in the times that I've been doing it with the murmuring and the, Lord, I just don't understand. I'm no better than anybody else. Do it too. And it's wrong when I do it, and it's wrong when you do it. And the Lord got a hold of me. I was doing stand-in one day, one weekend for Rick, who was off doing whatever it was he was doing. I don't remember exactly, but he took a trip. And the Lord knocked me between the running lights and said, you know, you just read in Colossians, set your affections on things that are above. You don't love anything but yourself. You can't set your affections on things that are above. You haven't ever tried.
what are you going to choose to do? This may be a choice, this life and death, for you this day. What are you going to do? You know, if you don't respond, if you don't respond right to that, you might not take another breath. Because he can't let you stand in rebellion and prosper. But you don't have to. You can choose to let him be your Lord. And Romans 8:1 opens with, but there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who are led by or walk after the Spirit, not the flesh. If the flesh is leading you, it's going to lead you to hell. If you agree with your flesh that this isn't the kind of stuff I'm used to and I don't want this anymore and nobody loves me like I want to be loved, that's grumbling and that's murmuring. The Lord has provided his people. You know, there's everybody, every man in this room has everything he needs to receive from the Lord. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy paths. There you go. It's right here. We know it. You agree with it. You receive the knowledge of his ways and agree that his ways are righteous and perfect, and that we were created to follow them, to learn them, and to serve him for his good pleasure. And that's good enough reason.
Amen.
And he is perfectly righteous. He created us. He created the heavens and the earth. Back to Colossians says that again. Where else does it say? It says in 1 John, right? I mean, in John chapter 1, right? By him and for him were these things created. The Word was came down and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I think I've beaten this horse to death. The end of murmuring isn't union and unity in the Spirit, in one mind and one purpose. It's rebellion. It's murmuring. And the end for those people in the what's termed in the Hebrews and other places in the New Testament, the provocation, was entertaining that notion. And that notion comes from God's unrighteous. He's unjust and he's not treating me right. He has demonstrated over and over again his provision, his love, his mercy, his grace. Today's the day to receive it.
Amen.
You don't know if you have tomorrow or not.
That's right.
And I call everyone here to account right now in Jesus' name. Amen.